Paul is now already in the kingdom, in the gospel, and he has believed. Along with him is Peter, James, John, a great number of others that are saved. The 120 on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 that came in right there after the Holy Ghost fell, and then 5,000 when he went up the Gate Beautiful. There were many thousands, all of these thousands that I'm mentioning, in just a few days' time, they were all Israel. And they went out and were instrumental in bringing others in. That was a great awakening, and Paul was fighting against this group that were believing on the Lord. And because he was on Israel's side that had been cut off. But he came to God, surrendered, made the Lord his master. And now Paul is saying, my heart's desire to God is that Israel might be saved. Referring that Israel as a nation is not saved. They're lost, which is true. They'd rejected the Christ. He said, I'm going to anger you by a people that are not a people. Because you have laid aside my law and you've gone whoring after other gods. And he said, eventually I will reach out and take a people that are not a people, which were the Gentiles. And I will cause you to be brought to jealousy, that by it. Now, Paul here, I'm going to read just a few and show you what it says here in this 10th chapter. The gospel of Christ, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the Gentiles. Leave the Jews alone because I've cut them off and not had anything to do with them. I'm not going to save them. No, he didn't say that. He said, the position they held with me as a family from Abraham, as a nation separated from all other nations, I had identified myself to the world as the God of Israel. But Israel has polluted the gospel, polluted the word. They have gone whoring after other gods. And I have corrected them time and time and time and again. But now, he said, I am going to make a change. And Jesus gives us the parable where he turns the kingdom or the vineyard over to another people, bringing forth fruit. Now, as I make this statement, let's also keep straight this one fact. He did say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, including the Jews. And when the Gentile hear and believe, they'll be saved. The Jews will hear and they will be saved. But seemingly there was a cloud, a spirit of slumber that was put over Israel according to the Bible. Wherefore God hath given unto them, Israel, not the Gentiles, Israel, the spirit of slumber. Now, while they have a spirit of slumber, if they come to Christ and believe the gospel, that's lifted. But we can't get around it that the Bible in 11th chapter Romans said, wherefore God hath given unto them the spirit of slumber. And he's given them eyes that they couldn't see and ears that couldn't hear. Why? Because they had eyes. I give them a chance to see and they wouldn't see, so I blinded them. They had ears to hear, but they wouldn't, and I'm going to blind them. I'm going to deafen them. Now you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. But he did. He said it, and that's what he did. He said they're cut off. What's cut off? The branch is cut off. From the vine. The vine is the one that has the life. The branch depends on the vine. Am I right? Now, when you take a knife and cut the branch off from the vine, what happens? You sever the connection. Am I right? Well, because of unbelief, they were cut off. You see. Now, the way for them to only have life, and there's never been a year since Jesus cut them off, but what there's been Jews come and get saved. Let's remember that the gospel, when it's preached and they believe it, they will be saved if they'll come to Christ. Now, if they are out there, a Jew, without the gospel, they can be in blindness, in darkness, in the spirit of slumber, and they can die and go to hell. The Gentiles are out there. They're alienated from God. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. And if the gospel doesn't reach the Gentiles, they'll die and go to hell. Do you understand what I mean? When he said he broke down the middle wall of partition, he cut the Jews off and he turned to the Gentiles and brought him in and turned the vineyard over to them, it didn't mean by no means that he automatically saved the Gentile world. He only saves those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again. See, there's a lot of things you got to understand when you're reading this. My heart's desire is to pray that Israel may be saved. For I bear record that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. How many believe Saul, when he was going down killing all the Christians, putting them in jail, he had a zeal for God? He said, Saul, what you doing? He said, I'm working my toenails off for God. He wasn't working for God at all. He's working for the devil. And you know, there's a lot of people today, they claim to be working for God, but they're working for the devil. They're working against the real truth. Saul was fighting against God's truth. And Jesus told him about it. Being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believes. The way you please God today is not go back and serve God under the rituals of the law. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to every man that believeth. Our walk today is a spiritual walk. We're led by the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We're saved from the pollutions of the world. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that if a man doeth the thing, the same shall live in them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven? Who shall bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. And this is the word of faith which is preached, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Now he's talking here about the Jews, that he would to God they'd be saved. Now, are they to be saved by continuing in the law? No, they cannot do that. There was a fellow not too long ago talking about the Jewish people, and he was talking about a special gospel that would just specially be tailor-made for the Jews, and we wouldn't have to bring them out from their traditions, but just kind of let them adapt Jesus Christ to their way of life and not bring them over into the New Testament. That New Testament would have a kind of a ritual and law for the Gentile people, and the Lord would kind of have a special kind of a doctrine for the Jews. Oh no, that's exactly why Jesus Christ said, Peter said, you with cruel hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because you wouldn't submit your belief to the doctrine of Christ. Now he said, if you want to be saved, you've got to repent and repent of your guilt and confess the Lord Jesus, be baptized and confess him, and be baptized in his name for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and when you come in, you must walk in all the light of the New Testament, and there is absolutely no difference, because you must come in, and now you must not try to bring others under the rituals of the law, and under the new early church had, for them to come out from Judaism, they had to come into the gospel of Christ, which was made up of Jew and Gentile. For the Bible says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile with God. Now, it used to be they were God's ancient people, Israel. But now he broke down the middle wall. When he broke it down, it's not there. You can't find it. It's nowhere to be seen. He's destroyed the rocks that caused it there. So there is no partition between them. Now, today, if a man comes to Christ, He doesn't come saying, I have certain favors because I'm this or that or the other. He's lost in the kingdom of the devil. He comes to Christ, he's saved, he's in the kingdom of Christ. You see, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. And he went on further to say, who is a Jew? He is not the Jew which is one outwardly. That runs his ancestry back to say, well, now David was my forefather, and I go on back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I am a Jew through descendants. He said it's not that Jew which is one outwardly, but it is with God the Jew which is one inwardly. A Jew which is one inwardly. What was God saying? It is not the outward circumcision of the flesh, but the inward circumcision of the heart. You see what I mean? So, we find, here's a wonderful story that we're getting here, and it's a good thing to get it straight in our mind so we'll not be confused the way it is. God will save any Gentile if they'll come to him. If they don't come to him, they'll be lost. God's not going to save them automatically of his own will because they're a Gentile, and reject the Jew because he's a Jew. They're both lost in sin and can only be saved by the gospel reaching them. That's what the word said. 14th verse of the same chapter. I'll just run down to that real quick here. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to call on Jesus Christ if they have not heard about him? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How are they going to believe on somebody they haven't heard? How shall they hear? How shall they hear? Except there be a preacher. There's got to be a preacher. And the preacher's got to go. And the preacher's got to preach to them. And as they listen to the preacher and listen to the truth, then they have the right then. Reject it or accept it. If they reject it, they're damned and lost. If they accept it, they're saved. So how can they call on whom they have not believed? Now, I was down here, if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. How are you going to confess the Lord Jesus if you don't believe in him? How are you going to believe in him if you haven't heard about him? So there must be that preaching here. That's the 9th verse I'm reading. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with thy mouth, not just confess him in your heart, confess him with your mouth. When the Jews come to God, they must open up their mouth around their own people, around their kin, and around their acquaintance and their loved ones, and let them know by mouth confession they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a hush-hush. It's not something that's kept under. When you're a Gentile, you come out from your card-playing friends and your dancing and hoodlum-growing crowd, and you become converted with your mouth. You've got to go among your own people, among your friends and acquaintance, and with your mouth confess the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, these are the grounds whereby I will save a man. He can't say with his heart, well, I believe, but I'll not say nothing about it. You cannot be saved with a mouth confession. Now notice, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart. You're not only with your mouth, but there's a believing in your heart. Believing in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. When you believe in your heart, and there's no doubt, that he died and he stayed dead 3 days. And after 3 days, God is the only one that did this, but the God of the universe raised up Jesus after he died. And every time, every word he said while he was living, God honored it. Had he been a false prophet, God got him dead. And God said, well, I'll let him stay dead. The rascal, he needs to stay dead. I won't raise him. Because he was a false prophet, imposter, and a liar. And if he wasn't the very Son of God, who he said he was, then he was the greatest imposter that ever lived. Nobody on earth could even throw him a shadow. No false prophet that ever has arisen since Adam could even throw him a shadow when it would come to apostatizing and becoming a false image, because he was an impostor to the furthest extent, because he didn't say, "I am a good man." He let us know that he was the very Son of God with all power in heaven and earth, and he was not a way, he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Now, he told Pilate, and he said, "Art thou the Christ?" He said, "Thou hast said, henceforth you'll see the Son of Man, who I am, come in the clouds of glory, the power and great glory." Well, Pilate said, "Well, if you're really him, I want to find out." And they said, "We want to put him in the grave and put a marching guard around him to keep him dead, because he said he'd come out of there." And Pilate said, "Well, no, let's make it sure as you can. Don't we have something else? How about Caesar's seal? That's a death penalty to touch it. Let's roll that stone there and put a Caesar's seal on it and put three marching guards, three watches around the clock, four guards on each watch. There will be four guards watching all the time. It's a death sentence for any one guard to fall asleep. If they fall asleep, they're killed. It's a death sentence to fall asleep being a Roman guard. But were they watching a dead man and trying to keep him dead, that says, I'm going to come out of there in spite of you marching the third day. And it was the third day now, and they were expecting something to happen and blow up because he walked on the waters, cast out devils. Devils screamed, said, "We know you're the Holy One of God." He was the one that came from glory, and he was the one the angels filled the hillside and said, "Unto you is born this day a Savior." All that is known. Now he cleanses the leper. He raises Lazarus from the dead after being dead 4 days. And now he says, "Death can't hold me. I'll come out." And can you imagine four Roman soldiers laying down about the time it's to happen, and all of them go to sleep? What a lie they hatched up. What a lie. You know, none of them even dared believe it themselves. It was only just a little escape to try to get around. You see, all the priests and all the big bugs, I mean the high priest and all, they didn't want to come down and say, we're wrong. He came out of the grave. Our marching guard said they fell as dead men when the angel appeared, which they did. They went back and said to him, said, "We were out there marching. We saw the heavens light up. An angel came down and we fell as a dead man. And when we came to ourselves and looked, the stone was rolled away and Jesus was out of there. And it's all of God." Well, here's their whole occupation. They got the beautiful temple. I'm the high priest. Got all of our priests on us. We've got a way of life here, and that's our livelihood, and we have fought him all along. Every time he'd raise someone from the dead, we'd raise Cain. And when he'd cast out a devil, we'd raise the devil. And so here we have given him trouble all along, and our hardest opposition against him when he raised Lazarus from the dead, they went out to kill him the next day, wanted to kill him. And when he had cleansed the leper and all that, none of it slowed him down. They was wanting to get rid of him. And now they finally killed him. And they finally got him in the grave. And about the time they took a deep breath, here the fellow comes and tells them that an angel comes down from heaven and rolls the stone away. They fall as dead men and they get up, and Jesus is out of there and gone. Now you can imagine, there's only two things to do. There's only two things to do. We've got a problem. We've got a problem. This is a major catastrophe. We must now say we're just the peasants. We're on equal line with them. And we've got to go over and associate with these rotten Gentiles that we think that are dogs. And we've got to join up the new crowd called the Christians. And we've got to follow that Nazarene that we thought was just a carpenter. Now, we've got to go over there and say goodbye to Moses, goodbye to law, goodbye to our temple, and goodbye to our little lambs and our goats. We can't kill them no more. We have to do away with blood sacrifices. We've got to believe in Jesus and go down and let one of them Pentecostal apostolic preachers baptize us in water in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and join that crowd. Or we've got to do that and give up our position, or we've got to make up a story here that'll try to hold water and kind of get by this thing. Said, hey, fella, just a minute. Don't leave. We'll give you a great big bunch of money and secure you if anything comes to the governor. We'll come in and secure you. You don't need to worry. You go out and say that you was there marching and you all just sit down knowing you'd get killed if they caught them, you know. And here you all just kind of laid down there and you just kind of slumped back. And finally, you just kind of fell down, and all four of you went to sleep at the same time. Tell it. And that you are all just sleeping along, and all at once, here come some disciples. The disciples were so scared, they only one stayed by the cross when it was happening. Can you imagine those disciples? Can you imagine those disciples? I wish I was preaching this to every Jew in the world. Because I love them. I want them to know the truth. What a lie they were told. Now listen. It said, no reflection people today. They need Christ as well as others. This happened back there. But I'm telling you what actually happened. This tale got out. And they still hold to it today. And so the story they told is all four of them went to sleep. Now let's imagine that. What an impossibility. What a way to imagine something. Now, then here comes the disciples. How many is it going to take to roll a stone away? Well, it's going to take several. Because one man can't do it. It was a stone. There you can see them. And you can see the sepulchre is exactly like it. And part of the stone is still there. Stone was about 8 feet high. At least 8 foot high. And about 14 inches thick. 14 inches thick. And cut in a circle. It was put on a track. And the track leaned up against the side of the mountain. The mountain was rock. And as it leaned that way, it wouldn't fall back toward you. It leaned just a little bit toward the door that you enter in. Because they sloped that rock to where the stone would roll evenly on a track. Now, it would take a couple to three men with all their might after they go up and break Caesar's seal. Now, let's see what happens. Here is not one, but at least two or three that would have to come and do that. Because you can't take a dead man, throw him over your shoulder, and just walk off. Now, so they come up there. And here's several of the fellows that are coming to get Jesus, the disciples. Must have got a lot of boldness in them because they didn't have that boldness a few minutes before. Now, let's go through what I'm exposing this lie. Right now, I don't want you to listen to it. So here's what it says they had to do. They had to come up, and they had to get around these soldiers. Now, can you imagine the soldiers said, well, now, where do we march? Do we march out there at that little garden, or over here at this gate that goes into that man's house, or what are we here for? You're here to march in front of this stone, this sepulcher, and you're to march here. Where this door is and this great big stone with Caesar's seal, and here's where you march. Now, if they were going to go to sleep, do you think they'd tear off and run about a half a mile out there and lay down and go to sleep? No. If they did go to sleep, they'd go to sleep right there by the rock, right there by the door, right there by the thing they're marching for. That's where they'd have gone to sleep. Not one, not two, not three, four guards. They all had to pile up there by the door. How in the world would the disciples come and grab a hold of that seal and break it, and then all three of them pushing them out of the way, they are asleep, with guns going to kill anybody that comes near, and then take their hands and begin to roll that great big stone weighing several tons, and as it's cut with chisels, it is in a round circle, but you know it's not as smooth as a top of a table. It was very rough, and as they would roll it, it would go all kind of rackety noises as it would come to the various cuts in the rock, and as they rolled it back, it would have awakened up anybody a half a block away, but to roll a stone away and then all of them get inside, then take Jesus Christ and pick him up and all three of them bring him out and them still snoring. That's the story that they told. That's the story that's with us today. And you ask anyone, what happened to Jesus? They stole him away. That's thin. That don't hold water. Just come right back and go through the whole thing. See if you believe it yourself. There's not a one of them that would believe it. They know it couldn't happen. There's no way. There's not one chance in 100 million that it could even think of happening. But for them to make a lie up, it's all they had. Either that or sell out 100%, and they didn't want to do it. They lied. That's what they're doing today. And are people believing them? People are believing them by the millions. And brother, people are rising today and telling you bald-faced lies and making the people believe it. How many has gone behind the pulpit, opened their mouth, and told people that the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to the church and to every one of his believers, and he sent it, and it would abide with them forever, and they must preach the gospel and preach the Holy Ghost unto the end of the world. They'll get up in the pulpit and tell them it's not for them today. And the people will sit there and not read the word, but believe them. So, what actually happened is what the book said. When they fell as dead men, when they come up out of there, they wasn't ready to stand there and do no marching. They looked and they saw that stone had been rolled away and the body of Christ gone. And brother, they tore out and went back and told the God's truth. They said, what happened is that we were there and the angel came from heaven. And the heavens lit up, the hillsides, and we fell like dead men when that angel appeared. And said, when we come up out of our fainting spell, a stone was rolled away. And Jesus was gone. But he didn't go very far. He just went around the corner. He's waiting for Mary to come at the break of day. And here she come, and Jesus was right there. And he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Didn't I tell you the third day I wouldn't be here? You come seeking dead people. I'm not dead. And whom seek ye? And she turned around, knowing who it was. You know, first she said, if you're the garden keeper, and if you've taken his body away, tell me where you've sent it, and I'll go and keep it. I'd like to go and take it. And he turned around and said to her, Martha, or Mary. And when he said that, she turned around and said, Rabboni, Master. She recognized Jesus. He wasn't afraid. He went on, met the disciples, told them, said, you go and tell them I'll meet them in Galilee. He met them there, walked in, door being shut, walked through the door, it being shut. Walked inside, said, I'm not a spirit, I'm not a ghost, feel me. Got a glorified body. And he walked in, they felt him and all that, you know. And then he went on down and he said, see you later. And he kind of took a little country walk, you know. Looked up there and saw three of his buddies. And they were walking along, talking, and he recognized them. They'd been his disciples. He'd eat with them, traveled over the hillside with them. So he just kind of said, I'm going to kind of disguise myself a little bit so they won't recognize who I am. Do you know this really happened? I'm telling you the truth. What happened? And he walked up alongside of them. And he said, hi. And they looked around, saw him, but their eyes were closed. They couldn't recognize who he was. He wanted to kind of feel them out to see exactly what they were thinking. And they said, "Hi, how are you?" He said, "Fine." And he said, "I'd like to ask you a question, boys." And they said, "Yeah, what it is? What you got? Say." He said, "What communications are these that you have one with another as you walk along the way here and you're sad? What communications are these? What you talking about? What's the subject? You must have had a disaster. Somebody must have died, or you must have had a bankruptcy or something. I notice that you walk along here and you're sad. Why?" They said, "Are you a stranger? Don't you know what has just happened around these parts?" And then he said, because he wanted to get it out of them, "What things? Tell me." "What things you talking about?" "Oh, pertaining to Jesus of Nazareth, a man mighty indeed. And we hoped. We did, but we're not now. We hoped that in him would be the resurrection of the dead. And we hope that the one that Moses and Job and the prophets, David and all spake of, we were hoping it would be him that had given us that hope. And this is the third day that since this has happened, they've taken him and crucified him and buried him. Not only that, but the ridiculous thing is that we have had false rumors coming from some woman that went to the tomb this morning and said she found the tomb empty. And even the Lord appeared and said that I am here." But they were still sad. They were still going home. They wasn't going toward Jerusalem. They had Jerusalem, the place of worship, at their back. They were headed away from the place of worship. They were sad, and they were filled with remorse and full of doubt. And Jesus looked at them. He said that while he was alive, that he would be raised the third day. And now you confess as you walk along that you got the message, that he wasn't slow on his appointment. He arrived back on the scene just in time and came out of the grave. And the woman said she saw him alive. And why aren't you there shouting? He didn't say that to him, but he said, "What kind of thinking is this that you're still doubting after the woman said she saw him? And he was out of the grave." You see, and they were, and you know what they called it? They said, "You know what? This is idle tales." That's what they called it in the book. You read it. Idle tales. Don't have anything to do but just sit around on a stool or do nothing and tell some tale. A woman saying he got out of the grave. And that's exactly what he said he would do. And then Jesus exploded in his glorified body. He got so aggravated, he said, "Oh, fools! This stranger, one by himself, walking along here with these other three," they thought, "why, man, we three here, we could whip you. Here you come as a stranger calling us fools." But he did. He said, "Oh, fools, slow of heart to believe. Should not the Christ that you're talking about, should not he have gone into the pangs of death and died? And to have been risen for the glory of God, should not all these things have happened?" Then he began to take the Psalms. He began to take Moses' writings. He began to take the rest. And he began to pour into them the scriptures that Christ must come, be rejected. He must be crucified. The third day he must raise again. And here you're doubting. And as they went along, woo, they said, did not our hearts burn when he opened up to us the scripture? And about that time, they got to the turn of the road, and there was the house, and the stranger, the sun had gone down, it was getting dark, and he was just going right along. And they said, hey, you've been such a blessing to us. Come on in the house. Would you come in the house?" See, he'd still held their eyes where they couldn't recognize who he was. And he said, "Well, I won't be infringing of..." "Oh, no. We'd like to have you come in." "Oh, yeah. Our hearts are burned as you walked along and opened up the scriptures. We were so sad and we felt so bad. We, you know, we're feeling better. Would you come in? Oh, yeah. Well, he said, yeah, I'll come in. So he came in and they hollered, Mama, Mama, we're hungry. Come on, bring something to eat. Would you do that? And so they brought the food in. They put the meat and the roast and the lamb leg and milk and fish. Maybe, I don't know, had some kind of gingerbread or something and had a nice meal there. And all at once she brought the loaf of bread out of the oven and it was just hot and smelly. And when she put it on the table, Jesus, when they all returned thanks, he jerked his hand over real quick and grabbed the loaf of bread. When he grabbed the loaf of bread, every eye was upon him, and he slowly brought it back to himself. He took the loaf of bread, and he broke it. And as he broke the bread of life, he pushed the button, and their eyes opened. And as he broke the bread, Lord, it's the Lord. Their eyes were opened. There's been more than one person's eyes opened when Jesus broke the bread. Oh, he was made known unto them in the breaking of the bread. Then what did they do? They said, well, Lord, we're glad you're here. We've got a lot of nice things we want to talk about. And I'll tell you what, you know, after Jesus did that, he just vanished out of their sight. The customer just vanished away. And they rejoiced and they said, now, Mama, we've had a great day and we're a little tired. And after all, we didn't have a Cadillac to bring us from the city of Jerusalem to our little abode here on road to Emmaus. And we're tired and we feel like a good night's rest will help us. Oh, no. They didn't say we've got to go out and tend to the stock. No. They didn't say let's go and bring in the daily Jerusalem news and let's read and see what some of the things are being said. No. They jumped up, grabbed their hats, and tore out in a run. Right back where they came from. Right back. We traced their tracks. Went back to Jerusalem, to the temple, and entered in. And when they got in, they start shouting, we've seen him, we've seen him. He's out of the grave. He lives, he lives. Hallelujah. That's the story. He didn't run off. He stayed here for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he gathered all of his loved ones together. And that day, the ones that wasn't washing and gone fishing and on the job, he got 500 of them, and he headed the list, and he walked down Jerusalem. The Son of God, the carpenter, glorified, out of the grave. One, they said that they fell asleep and they come and stole his body. Why didn't they peep out the window and see what was happening? Can you think 500 people can come out in front of this place, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, and there's a guy leading the way in a long robe with a majestic move as he walks along. And they're all happy. They're all joyful. There's not a sad one among them. And Jesus is leading the way, and they go out and they climb up the mountain. And when they go out there, they all come back with that guy that walked through the city, had the robe on. He's not with them. He's gone. And they say, where? Where's that man that led the crowd? Said, we watched him as he blessed us, and he went up, and a cloud received him out of our sight. And while we were there, bless your heart, you know what happened? He sent two men from heaven down, and these two men of heaven stuck their head right out of that cloud and said, hey, let me tell you something. Ye men of Galilee, let me tell you something. This same Jesus that you've seen go away into heaven, he shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go away. That's what we've seen about it. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They had something to tell. Has anybody got a testimony? Sitting there dumb and dead and cold. If anybody's got anything to say, bless your heart. That gang go to a church that night and some preacher get up and said, has anybody got anything to say, bless your heart? Oh, it's been like a, you talk about one of these sales today when they open the door, you know, and these ladies standing out there by the hundreds. You talk about a stampede. Brother, they'd have got to their feet and said, wait, let me tell it first. I've got something to say. And they went everywhere preaching Christ, that he was risen from the dead. The lie that the grave held him, and that they fell asleep, and they come tramping along and pushing them out of the way where they were marching in front of it, and then unsnapped Caesar's seal, and then rolled it away while four Roman soldiers are there ready to awaken and kill them. Where did we ever see such brave soldiers before that? Those disciples didn't even come near the cross. Only one stayed pretty close, and that was the distance. They fled when the people came to get Jesus. They fled. But after they got the Holy Ghost, they stuck their ground. What I'm telling you, this Christ that we're talking about, brother, he left an empty tomb. He left a testimony that he didn't run off from the fight. He stayed there. And he sent his crowd back. And brother, they died a martyr's death, because they knew that the Christ that they served had gone to prepare a place. Brother Noll is up there with him now. And every last one of us one day will leave and check out. And when we do, we'll go to be with that one that I'm talking about. The grave couldn't hold him. The grave can't hold God's people.